And I was, is Melanie here? Sullenberg? You know, I wanted to verify before I said this, but I don't know if you know this, but Psalm 27 is traditionally read for all of Elul, the month before, in Tishrei, and through the high holidays. So it is, that was pretty cool. Traditional Jews will say Psalm 27 for about 6 weeks, and we're in that season. So, happy Rosh Hashanah, Chag Sameach, Shana Tova. I was thinking about it. You know, a lot of Jews complain that we're persecuted and we have a lot of enemies. But frankly, as I was cooking and putting chicken fat in matzo balls, I thought, you know what? We don't really need a lot of enemies. If our food would kill us, and it's pretty... It's amazing we've survived just after dinner. Jeez. I took the brisket out. I thought, it's like a bath of fat. But God is good, and He preserves us, even if we do harm to ourselves. So Rosh Hashanah, or Yom HaTorah, you'll hear a lot of sermons talking about it's a time to wake up, the time for reconciliation, a time of repentance. You hear the shofar, and wake up, right? It says, wake up. And I was thinking to myself, if you've been asleep for over 300 days, there's a different word used than sleeping. Right? I don't think a shofar is going to wake you up after that. But we blow it. Thank you, Jill. This is a time I want us to take an even deeper look. Yes, we do. We should be reconciled with our fellow man and sister and brother. We should wake ourselves up if we've gotten to a very comfortable rut. Then we should say, all right, I gotta pull it together and I gotta, you know, get myself back on track. But I also want us to take a very personal look for this coming up year. There's a commandment in the Bible that says, you will be holy as I am holy. And I want us to think about that this year. I want us to look back at this past year. Because in the time of Rosh Hashanah, traditionally it's called to take a cheshbon nefesh. You take an account. Like you go to the financial year, you go to your accountant, he takes a look at your finances. This year, we take a look at let's think about how holy we've been. Let's take an account of our holiness. There's a couple things we have to talk about with holiness first. God does not dwell in unholy spaces. He doesn't like unholiness. And much of Revelation deals with God dealing with unholy behavior. When God wanted to dwell within the people of Israel after they came out of Egypt, He said, make a space for me. Make a special space that'll be holy, and I'll dwell there in the midst of the camp, but a very special holy place that needs to be treated in a very specific holy manner. He wouldn't dwell amongst the average person, but He wanted a specific space. As disciples of Yeshua, we read it in Ephesians 1:4, it says, we've been made holy by the Messiah and His love. Hence why the Holy Spirit can dwell within us, because we have been made holy by the work of Yeshua. And we read in Corinthians that we are the temple of God because we've been sanctified by God. And even though the first believers worshipped in the temple, there was something special about in the new covenant is that we have been sanctified so that God can dwell within us. Not just in a building, but within our hearts. And I also believe that we can grow holier. We are in a process of sanctification. It needs to be made holy. Yes, we have been made holy by the blood of Yeshua, but it doesn't stop there. As we were talking about earlier, we're in the process of becoming holier and holier and holier. So we become more like Him. Now, I know how we can become holy. It's by what we do, right? It's by how much we pray. It's by how much we read the Bible. It's how often we put on a kippah or a tallit. It's how much we come to service. It's how nice we behave with other people. Or maybe it's by what we wear. We can dress really holy. Or it's by what we say. To respond to what I just said, let's look to Mark 7 and let's see if I'm right. So go to Mark 7, starting at verse 14. Okay, Mark 7, starting at verse 14. Then Yeshua called the crowd again and began saying to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing outside the man that can make him unholy by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of the man that makes him unholy." Some verses, some manuscripts said, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." The context of this is that his disciples are eating with unclean hands, and they're being criticized basically because they're being accused that if you're eating with unclean hands, that the food you ingest is unclean, and therefore you're unclean. And he's saying, doesn't matter what you put in your mouth, that's not going to make you unholy. Let's continue in verse 17. When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you then also lacking understanding?" Or as modern terms, you might say, "What's the matter with you? Don't you grasp that whatever goes into the mouth cannot make him unholy? For it does not enter into the heart, but into the stomach, and then goes out into the sewer, cleansing all foods." And he continued, "It is what comes out of the man that makes the man unholy. For from within, out of the heart of men, come evil intentions, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustfulness, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and make the man unholy." So the crux of this all is, of course, is this our heart. Holiness is an issue of the heart. Often people think the more religious somebody is, that the holier they are. But according to the scriptures, it's the condition of our heart is what makes us holy or unholy. So how can we really be holy? How can we really sanctify our hearts? Yes, Yeshua sanctified us, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure I can speak for many of us, when Yeshua took us out of darkness into light, there was still a lot of work to be done. So let's go to 1 Peter 3:15, I think, for a good answer to that. Now, Peter speaking about persecution and worrying about other people, but I think the principle stands for this. When he says 1 Peter 3:15, 1 Peter is right before 2 Peter, "Instead, sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts." And he continues, "Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." But the beginning part of the verse is the crux. Sanctify the Lord, sanctify Messiah as Lord in your hearts. What does that mean, to sanctify? It sounds like a fancy theological word. It means to set him apart. It means to revere him, to know that he's on his throne. What does it sanctify him as Lord? That he's the commander, he's the ruler, he's the king. And as we read in Isaiah and as we read in Revelation, when the king seated on his throne, it says, "Holy, holy, holy." And what did the angels do? Not humans. What did the angels do when they said this? They covered their face. They covered their hands. And they covered their feet. They covered their face. And they flew. Even angels couldn't stand the glory of God and his holiness. And they covered their feet. What, like there's dirt in heaven? Did they get dirty? But still, they covered their feet out of propriety, out of humility, and out of reverence. That when they saw the glory of God and the greatness of God, and read in Revelation 4 and 5, and whenever times they would give glory to God, they said all of the angels and the elders and the four living creatures would bow in their faces. The holiness of God is so overwhelming that you can't do anything except you turn away from it. Remember Indiana Jones? Remember when they opened up the ark and he said, "Close your eyes, Miriam." And the Nazi gets his face melts. It's great. Love that scene. Sorry. Profane movie reference. But when we sanctify God as Lord, as King, as a holy King, not just a King, but a holy King, a pure King, a right King, it changes our hearts, and then in turn it changes our behavior. So while you could say, well, what I do outside doesn't change my heart, that's not important, that's not true. But the heart has to be first. The heart has to be pure. The heart has to be holy. And the heart has to be the place where the Lord is sanctified. As Lord, as King, as ruler. So you ask yourself, what if I don't sanctify God? Well, there's an example of that. In Numbers 20, God commands Moses to speak to the rock. Because the people are thirsty. They ran out of club soda. And so he says, speak to the rock and water will come out. We know in 1 Corinthians that this rock is actually the Messiah who accompanied the people. So the people are fetching, they're complaining, Moses, he can't take it anymore. And he takes his staff and he beats the rock twice. He loses his temper. And because of this one act, because he doesn't sanctify God in the eyes of the people, he's forbidden from entering the promised land. This is Moses. But because he was at such a high position and he led the people and he taught the people about God, and because he gave in to his anger, that he said, you didn't sanctify me, therefore you can't go in. Why? Because when you give in to anger, your circumstances rule you and not God. Now, this is something I struggle with. It's not easy. It's a constant battle. It's a constant mode of repentance. Like, oh, I'm so sick of saying sorry. But you just have to, knowing that God will purify you. But had Moses sanctified God in his heart before the eyes of the people and said, okay, you guys are acting a little crazy. I'm going to speak to this rock and satisfy you and get you off my back. They would have been fine, but he didn't do it. He didn't sanctify God as Lord, and he was punished. Because God's reputation is at stake, too. To take that into consideration, our behavior reflects God here on this earth. So he wants us to sanctify him because it makes him look good. And when he looks good, he's happy and people get saved. Because they experience like, wow, how good is God? I want it. I want him. What do I need to do to be near him? One of the vows in a traditional Jewish wedding is Hare at mekudeshet li b'tabat zot kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. Behold, you are betrothed to me, mekudeshet. You're betrothed to me, the man is saying to the wife, with this ring, according to the religion of Moses in Israel. The idea here is mekudeshet, betrothed to me, sanctified to me. It's come from the root kadosh, holy. The wife is made holy to the husband. She's his. She's set apart. No man can touch her anymore. Even in ancient Israel, a father had to relate differently to a betrothed wife, to his betrothed daughter, than he did before she was married. Because she now belongs to her husband. She's been sanctified. She's set apart for him. She's special for him. Even in ancient Israel, her hair belonged to her husband. No man could see her hair. It's something special, something dedicated, something exclusive. And with this in mind, this is how we're to treat God and treat Yeshua. That he's special, that he's holy, that he's ours, that he's exclusive. And it goes back, you know, it's a two-way street, that we belong to him. So that our hearts belong to the Lord, as we were talking about earlier in the prophetic time, that we take a stand for God. We're dedicated to God, that our focus is on God. We want to serve God and do his will because we are his. He's purchased us and we make him ours. And this is not just the business of, oh, I'm saved. It minimizes the power of the gospel of God. I'm saved. I got saved. Great, but what about now? Is God holy to you? Do you love him like a man loves his wife? Are you exclusively his? Is he exclusively yours? Do you have other idols? Or do you serve him alone? Do you want to be with him? Do you worship him alone? Do you love him alone? And when you mess up and when you get off course, do you say, oh, God, forgive me because your opinion is the only one that matters to me? Even in David's heart, when he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, he said, to you alone, Lord, have I sinned. Because he knows ultimately that he's going to have to give account to God and his heart belongs to God. At the end of his days, he's going to stand before God and he's going to say, look what you did. And he said, I know. Forgive me. That God has to be made holy. He has to be betrothed to us. He has to be special. That God is a holy God. When Isaiah the prophet stood before God and the holiness of God, what's his response? I'm unclean. My people are unclean. Purify me. We have been purified with Yeshua. We have been made holy by Yeshua. But let us not stop. Let us continue to move forward and say, God, cleanse me more. Make me pure more. I want to be even brighter with the love of Yeshua and the light of Yeshua. So people see me, they see him. And everyone I see through his eyes. So that when our hearts are transformed and he's made Lord and sanctified as Lord in our hearts, it transforms the way we pray. So that we connect to the heart of the Father when we receive his will by the Spirit. When we read the Bible, it shows us who we are, as Yaakov, as James says, it's the law, it's the reflection. We see who we are, we see how far we are from the image of Yeshua, and how we can get closer to the image of Yeshua. When we put on a kippah and talit, it instills a fear and reverence within us. And an identification with our people that we pray for them and we intercede with them, that we belong to them, and the Yeshua is for the Jewish people. And when we spend hours at service, we do so because we want to worship God as a body. And that we want to be together in fellowship in the Spirit and grow closer together in unity with the love of Yeshua. When we do kind things and do acts of kindness to other people, we do so because of the love of God, not because we're trying to earn points. And because it opens up doors to people's hearts that we can share the love of Yeshua with them and say, listen, I have something really great to share with you. Because God is sanctified in our hearts. Yeshua is Lord in our hearts. And all we can do is, what does your kingdom want to do? Where do you want to go? What's your will for today? Who are you looking at? How can I touch them? How can I bless them? How can I be made holier? Not for ourselves. I'm not preaching. I don't want us to become a monks. Turn this into Ohev Yisrael Monastery. Great, be holy in the desert. So what? What have you done lately? But so we be holy so that we can make a greater space for the kingdom of God to come into this world. As many of you know, there was a season in my life where I was very orthodox. I still believe in Yeshua, but I lived very much in an orthodox way. And when I stopped being orthodox, I remarked to my sister-in-law, who was also the same, we were in the same boat, we were talking, and we both said to each other, you know, a true life of faith is a lot harder than the orthodox way of life. People revere the orthodox, their commitment, their discipline. But truly, I say, it's much harder because your heart is much more difficult because it's much more intimate. You can fake it. I can put on the clothes. I can say the prayers. I can eat the food. I can study this. Yeah, that's it is hard. And it is, there's something I think praiseworthy of those who do it a whole, in a right way. But I'm telling you, with the Holy Spirit in your heart, it's way harder. Because the heart is the thing we always try to avoid the most, and it's the most difficult. It's easy to fake it, but you can't fake the heart. And God sees our hearts. Well past our clothes and our food and our prayers and all that stuff, He sees the heart. So you can make fake me, but you ain't faking Him. And if you're really serious about being intimate with God and being holy with God, you can't fake it. You can't fake it. But the good news is, even though it's the hardest, it's the most fruitful. It's the most life-changing. It's the most freeing. Yes, there are points in our lives like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to share with somebody or be accountable to somebody else. Or I don't want to pray about it. Or when the rabbi says, let's open up our hearts to these parts and let God in, like, I don't want to do it. But there's liberty there. Where there's holiness, there's freedom. There's joy. What does Paul write to the Romans that the kingdom of God is? Righteousness, holiness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's peace. This is what we're looking for. It's so much better. It's so much freer. So that when you do the other stuff, there's life in it. Who cares about doing stuff there's no life in? Who cares? What does it do? Nothing. Do stuff that comes from a sanctified heart that sanctifies God. It says in Proverbs 4:23, above all, guard your heart. Guard it. Keep it safe. Keep it sanctified and betrothed and dedicated to God. Because if from there spring forth the issues of life. Keep your hearts pure before God. Keep your hearts dedicated to God. If your intent is, I love you, God, I want to do your will, I want to be close to you, I want to be like you, I want to be with you, then those things will come out as we talked about earlier. Yeshua said, seek the kingdom and his righteousness and everything will take care of itself. As Rabbi Michael said, know what's right, do it, let God deal with the rest. This year, I want us to, as a vision for this year, is that we sanctify God. We sanctify Yeshua as Lord in our hearts, individually, collectively. That our hearts are more sanctified. They are holier. Therefore, our actions will be holier. Therefore, our words will be holier. Whatever we do will be holier and will have a greater impact, namely on the Jewish community here in Northern Virginia and for the nations as well. But it starts here. It starts here. This is called, we now begin the 10 days of awe. It's a time of repentance between men, between a fellow man, and then between God. But I encourage us also to be time of 10 days of sanctification. That I find any ways that our hearts are not sanctified to God, to repent of those things and to find any possible way to make them holier to God, that He would be holier in our lives. Holiness is not something that we hear a lot of. We hear a lot about feelings. We hear a lot about friendship. We hear a lot about being saved. But there's a holiness of God that is so great and awesome that when we realize our salvation is amazing. How holy our salvation is. How holy our friendship with God is. How holy the love of God is. It's so much more than a feeling. It's life transforming. It changes us. And it makes us holy unto Him. Amen. So let's get holier. And the things that God can do with a holy people is amazing. Remember, there's no condemnation. Read Romans 8. There's no condemnation for those in Messiah Yeshua. But we have also the invitation to become holier in him, to repent, to be changed, to look into the mirror and say, wow, I don't recognize myself. And to go out to touch people's lives because of the holy love of a holy God, to bring us into his holy kingdom. We have a true holy friend in Yeshua. Knowing that this time he's going to come back. We don't know when. But to reign as a holy king. It's awesome. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a holy God, Lord, and you do not leave us profane, unholy, unclean, Lord, but through the blood of Yeshua, you sanctified us, making us a kingdom of priests unto you, Lord, both Jew and Gentile. One body, one temple, Lord. Come dwell within your people. And I pray, Father, that you would send your spirit more mightily. And I think of Peter when he spoke, the Spirit empowered him. It said after he spoke that it cut people's hearts. Not because of Peter's merit, Lord, but because of your Spirit. Empower us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Purify our mouths and our hands so that when we speak and touch people, that their hearts are cut with the love of God and the conviction of sin, and they would repent unto life. Sanctify us more. Purify us. Show us any high places on which we alter offerings to any other thing besides you, Lord. However innocuous it may seem, I pray you show us anything that takes precedence over you, Lord, we would give unto you and repent. Restore us, purify us, sanctify us, bring us back to you, God. Give us visions of how holy you are. And I thank you, God, that not only in the scriptures it says to be holy in a commandment, but it is also just a future tense. We will be holy as you were holy. If we stay on the path and pursue you and abide in you, Yeshua, abide in your love. Thank you, God. Bless each and every one here. May we have a wonderful year this year. We see many Jewish people come to salvation. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.